From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you, I love our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. What a great American patriot. He just completely discombobulated and triggered the entire mainstream media. Secretary Pompeo holding a little gathering with the reporters, and he promised a smooth transition. And of course, everyone took a gasp. Is he going to congratulate Joe Biden? Oh no, ladies and gentlemen. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo then said that he promised a smooth transition into the second Trump administration term. What a brilliant move. And the folks over at CNN are just enraged right now. And they're saying that Pompeo refuses to acknowledge Biden's win, enables Trump denial. Good for you, Mr. Secretary. All right, welcome to the third hour of the program. We're broadcasting today from our beautiful studios at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. Great to have you with us today. We have a couple of lines open, and we are going to get to your calls, so hang tight, 844-747-8868. Again, that's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Brooke McGowan is a co-founder of a group called the MAGA Institute, and she's on the Newsmaker line. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Brooke, I have to be honest, I have not heard of the MAGA Institute, so why don't you tell our listeners what you guys are all about, when you guys started, and what you're doing.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Todd. We launched right at CPAC this year, and we are MAGAInstitute.com. What we do is what the Republican Party can't do, and that is vetting candidates, making sure everybody before the primary, we tell the electorate whether or not they have America First and MAGA principles. We give them a certification if they meet our algorithm. We have a group of volunteers across the country that help us inside their own district. So those are the people that really you need to hear from, people on the ground. They sometimes go to the rallies that don't get put on the air. They hear from other friends. They know stuff on the ground, and we do our best vetting. If they meet an 80% algorithm, we give them a MAGA Institute certification.
So I understand you're in Arizona. What's happening there right now in the state?
Sure. We flew out here to Arizona on Thursday in order to watch very closely this count in Maricopa County. We felt very confident that Arizona was in the Trump column from the very beginning, and it turns out that that's what we're going to end up finding out very soon. As soon as they finish, they've got about 80,000 votes left to count. We're already within a razor-thin margin of Trump victory. We're about 14,700 and some change. And each time they do more of a vote count drop, it leans more toward the Trump column, and we're just going to wait this out and watch it and watch him be victorious in Arizona, as we knew last week.
I see. Now, you're there. What are the vote count totals? I mean, how close are things from what you're hearing, boots on the ground?
Sure. So we're now within less than 15,000 gaining on Joe. We're gaining on Joe every time there's a vote drop. Just last week, there were 500,000 votes still to count, and we were 200,000 down. Every time there's been a ballot drop, meaning data given to the campaign and given to, the elections board, we have made that margin, smaller and smaller, and now we're within the margin of victory.
I see. Yeah. So we were looking at the Associated Press vote totals, and it looks a heck of a lot closer. As 1,476 votes is what they've got. Biden at 49.5%. And Donald Trump at 49%. So that's mighty close.
It is, and it's going to keep trending. Every time there's been a drop, it's been trending somewhere around 57% to 62%, depending on which precinct just was, delivered or not delivered, but just tallied and given to the data. 57% has been the lowest that's been trending toward Donald Trump. So if that's the case, that's just an easy win. So we're just waiting this out. We're also helping with They've decided that there's a lot of voter irregularities here, as well as every state, actually, Todd, as you've heard from the Dominion, about the Dominion software and, goodness, harvesting ballots and just all the kinds of shenanigans that the Democrat cartel has pulled off. But here in Arizona, they had something called Sharpie Gate, where voters were given a Sharpie to fill out their ballots. Sometimes it was tallied and sometimes it wasn't. We have a desk set up over at the Maricopa County Election Center after about 4 p.m. every day now. You can come and sign an affidavit and telling us all about your situation, if you've had any voter irregularities at all in Arizona.
All right, good stuff. Brooke, give our listeners your website address one more time.
Thanks, Todd. It's MAGAInstitute.com. You can sign up as a volunteer or a supporter, or just watch what we do on Facebook. I do lives every day. I'm doing updates from the Maricopa County Center, Election Center, and we'd love to have you on board.
All right. There you have it, folks. MAGA Institute, Brooke McGowan, thank you, and keep up the good fight there in Arizona. Interesting story out of CNN, the most profane name in news. Anderson Cooper is comparing our president to a dictator. Cut number two, please.
In the mid-90s, I think it was like 96, I was in Kinshasa in the waning days of Mobutu. And Mobutu was a, you know, pretty awful dictator. And when he finally fled the country and the rebels were moving to take the capital, his son drove around in a pickup truck with a machine gun and settling scores with people he felt had not been supported enough with Mobutu. Thankfully, it hasn't come to that here, but I can't believe we're in a situation where a transfer of power is not, I can't believe we are in this situation here. It just seems so petty. And I know it's about Georgia, and I know it's about setting up grievance politics that will perhaps allow him to run in 4 years again.
So that's Anderson Cooper. Now, I want to ask you a question, and this is, you know what, it's just you and me. Just forget that there are millions of people listening to this radio program right now. Just put that out of your mind for a moment. Now, let's take a look at Donald Trump's, let's just take Don Jr. for a moment. So you have Don Jr. on one side, and you have Hunter Biden on the other. Now, if you're gonna take Anderson Cooper's statements at face value, which son do you think would be more likely to go out, climb into the back of a pickup truck, and start shooting people? Is it Don Jr., who is a successful multimillionaire, a very successful businessman? Or would it be Hunter Biden, who likes to take selfies buck naked in a bathtub smoking crack cocaine? I know which one I'd choose. These people have completely lost their minds. But this is the narrative coming from the mainstream media. And you're not going to hear the Never Trump crowd talking about this. But everybody's out there, all the Democrats are out there. Oh, can't we all just like hold hands and hug each other and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Can we not just do that and just let's tiptoe through the tulips. Let's sniff the daisies. Because the orange man, bad orange man, is going back to Mar-a-Lago. No, they don't want to do that, folks. This is all about smearing this president. They hate this man, and they hate you even more. I'm not, you think I'm joking. Cut number nine. This is Eugene Robinson. He is a columnist for the Washington Post over on MSDNC. Let's listen to what he says.
Our friend Rick Stengel said this is the way people react when dictatorships fall. I get that this is a blue city inside a blue state and one of the headquarters of the resistance, but this is an extraordinary thing, and this is playing out in a lot of cities and towns across the country.
It is, and to tell you the truth, I mean, the only night that I, in my personal experience, recall that really feels like this one was the night that Augusto Pinochet was defeated in a plebiscite in Chile, and the country was going to return to democracy after 17 years of his autocratic rule. And obviously, Donald Trump is not Augusto Pinochet, but the Trump era was such a departure from our traditions of democracy, our traditions of civility, our traditions of orderly transfer of power, our democratic traditions.
So this moron, Eugene Robinson from the Washington Post, actually thinks the president has been a dictator. You know, Eugene, if I could just, let's have a one-on-one. Eugene, if the president really was a dictator, we wouldn't have had an election in the first place, you moron. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Brandy in Kansas, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Brandy?
Yes, Todd. I just want, first off, to start off, everybody remember who God is, and he is a God of miracles, and he always, you know, often tends to show up at the very last moment, and this is not over, by far.
Well, no, I'm with you. I think that, Brandy, we're going to let this thing play out. The Attorney General is telling the Justice Department to get involved and to look into the allegations, and I'm still fairly confident that if every legal vote is counted, this president wins.
And I just saw that North Carolina has finally been, they said Trump claimed that for victory. But I just wonder why the media, what is their motive? Why are they not showing any hint of this? It's all Biden won, when they know that that's very real. Do they not believe it? Are they in denial?
Well, no. They're not in denial, Brandy. It's all about the narrative, because in their minds, okay, they want the American people to think that Donald Trump is so far behind in the Electoral College count that there's no way he can catch up. In reality, it's neck and neck. But again, this is all part of a narrative that the mainstream media is advancing. And by the way, to your point, Senator Tom Tillis has been declared the winner in North Carolina, beating, what was that guy's name? He was the big text messaging scandal. Cunningham was the guy's name. He was sexting with a woman, not his wife, as they say.
Sleazo.
But but Brandy, this is all part of an overall effort, because they think the American people are stupid. You know, they think that the American people are so busy doing other things, they're not paying attention. And so when you look and you're like, oh, well, Biden's got, 265 and Trump barely has 100. Well, that's impossible. Trump's going down in a landslide defeat. When in fact, that's not the truth at all. And that's why they haven't declared North Carolina. They haven't declared Georgia. They haven't declared Arizona. Well, they have, but some have.
But what happens when he comes out ahead? What will they say? What will their excuse be when Trump does come out ahead, if he does win? You know, what will they say?
Brandy, people are not talking about that right now, but I'll just go on the record and tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be war. It'll be all-out war. That's what's going to happen. You think the Democrats, the Democrats are not going to be dancing in the streets, I'll tell you that much.
Will the media be shocked? Or does the media know it's possible?
Well, no, I think that they think it's possible, but they probably know the fix was in. But it doesn't matter, Brandy. They're gonna go right along with the Democrats and the people that are burning down our cities. But you know what? We've got to take a stand here. We have to be willing to say we're not going to tolerate voter fraud in America. We're not going to do it.
Amen.
All right, Brandy, look, regardless, it's going to be okay, because as you said at the beginning of your remarks, God is still God and God is in control of all of this. So it's going to be good. Hey, Brandy, I hate to do this, but we've got a skedaddle. Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening to us. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, this just in from the Tar Heel State, North Carolina's 15 electoral college votes go to Donald Trump. That's according to the Decision Desk headquarters, now projecting that Donald Trump will win North Carolina's 15 electoral college votes. Senator Tom Tillis will defeat Democrat and serial sexter Cal Cunningham for the Senate race. So there you go. Still waiting for Pennsylvania and Georgia and Arizona. We will keep you posted. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Lee in Indiana. Hi, Lee. What's going on?
Actually, it's Levi.
Oh, Levi. My apologies.
Yeah, it's okay. Hi, Todd. I have been listening to your show since just before the pandemic outbreak and a first-time caller. And I love sweet tea and make my own homemade biscuits and gravy. And I have two comments to make.
Go right at go ahead.
I'm the only person in my immediate family that supported Trump in 2016 and this year. Both my parents and my sister and her husband dislike Trump. The strange thing is that my parents are conservatives in that they are against LGBTQ rights and against abortion and whatnot, but yet they are registered Democrats. And when I've told my parents about what's been going on with the far left and Democrats and Biden and the Biden family, they think that it was just something that Trump made up to make Joe Biden look bad, even though it wasn't.
So I'm curious. So your parents are pro-life and they oppose LGBT rights. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I see. So why are they Democrat? I mean, have they always been Democrats? Did they vote for George Bush back in the day?
I have no idea. They've never told me who they voted for.
I see. Why is it they objected to Trump? Did they tell you why they don't like Trump?
They don't like Trump because he's on his fourth marriage, supposedly.
I see. So they have an issue with the marriage part. Well, he's not a marriage counselor. He is the president. I mean, I get confounded with folks who have that kind of mindset.
Well, the thing is that my grandparents were Democrats, were registered Democrats as well. My mom's parents were, and they had voted for Kennedy, 61 was it?
And Kennedy would basically be a Republican by today's standards within the Democrat Party. Yeah. So Levi, our time is short here. So what is it you're asking here? Are you wanting to try to convert your parents to the right way of thinking here?
No, I'm just trying to make a point that I mainly just wanted to call in because I have never been on this show before and called in on the show before, but also because the fact that my parents wouldn't listen to this show even if I told them they
sure.
should.
All right, Levi, we're gonna have to put you on hold here. I know you're a first-time caller, but we're gonna get back to Levi. So let's get his number and let's try to get him to call back on tomorrow's show, and also get his address. Levi, we're gonna send you some books, and they might be very helpful in this cause. Hang tight, everybody. We're gonna be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. If you are just joining us, Decision Desk HQ says that Donald Trump will win North Carolina's 15 electoral college votes. It's about time. Still waiting on the vote count in Georgia, Arizona, and Pennsylvania, so we'll keep you posted on that. Want to go right now, though, do we have Senator Marsha Blackburn on the Newsmaker line? It has been a very busy day up on Capitol Hill. Senator, great to have you with us today.
I am delighted to join you. Thank you so much for having me. What an interesting day we have going on.
Well, I just a few moments ago, I was watching you on the big screen there, grilling Andrew McCabe. And let's talk about that before we get into what's happening with the attacks on Trump supporters. Are we going to get to the bottom of what actually happened with McCabe and the FBI?
My hope is that we are going to get to it, and I think that the hearings that we're doing, the oversight we're conducting, has sent a message. It doesn't matter if you're the number one or the number two or the number one or two at DOJ, the FBI. If we have questions, we're going to question you. Now, Todd, the important thing to note is whether it is James Comey or Sally Yates or Rod Rosenstein or Andrew McCabe, they knew absolutely nothing about anything nefarious being done to block Donald Trump. But, oh, yes, you know, they did go ahead and sign those FISA warrants against Carter Page and initiate Crossfire Hurricane and go at General Flynn because they were taking an action on a dossier that they later found out was a part of a campaign. But, you know, even 6 months after they found that out, they were still okaying those FISA warrants. It is so unbelievably egregious. And I think getting to the bottom of it is an important. Somebody cooked up the plot. Somebody said, yeah, let's carry this thing out. Somebody carried it out and did the dirty work. And the American people, President Trump and General Michael Flynn and Carter Page and George Papadopoulos are the ones that have paid a very heavy price for this kind of foolishness conducted on the taxpayer's dollar.
You know, Senator, I've started laying out the plans for my next book project, and I was just going through some of the news stories in recent days, the number of Democrats, people in the mainstream media that are calling for Trump supporters to be targeted, to be blacklisted, people like AOC, people like Jake Tapper over at CNN. This is a very, very dangerous and disturbing path the Democrats and the media is going down right now.
You are exactly right. It is. When you look at what they did to use the federal government to spy on citizens, when you look at what they did in trying to tweak the vote and with the ballots that were mailed out, you know, Todd, I know people that have gotten 3 and 4 ballots for former residents at their home. Now, what if that happened for people? What if they found somebody and sold those ballots so that they got a few bucks in their pocket? I mean, this is the kind of thing we're talking about. And making certain that local election commissions, I served on the local election commission. I know how hard we worked there in Tennessee to be sure our roles were accurate. But these local election commissions that are responsible for cleaning up these roles, we need to be certain that they are doing their job. The secretaries of state need to be certain that they are giving these counties the tools they need to do their job. They need to make certain that the votes that are coming into them are accurate. There need to be the checks and balances, the double checks on those numbers so that people can trust that their vote counts and that one person gets one vote, and that we preserve the integrity of the system.
You know, Senator, I was reading some of your remarks in Breitbart the other day. One of Pete Buttigieg's staffers, several of them actually, are working on this blacklist of Trump supporters. You wrote in a tweet that we're not going to back down. We're not going to cower in fear. And you reached out to Buttigieg. Did he ever respond to you?
Nope. But anyone that wants to reach out and have a conversation about how to improve the lives of Tennesseans and all Americans, anyone that wants to have a conversation on how we get this nation back on track, I'm willing to have that conversation. And if Joe Biden is going to be true to his word, he needs to say, no, you cannot do blacklist. You cannot do not hire list. You cannot try to conduct a campaign of personal destruction because somebody has supported someone that you consider to be your political opponent.
No, look, I think that is so well stated. And again, this goes to the heart of who the Democrats really are. And for them, this is about payback. You know, Senator, I've been reading a lot of the reactions and watching the reactions from mainstream media. And they seem to be more upset about the number of people who actually voted for President Trump. I mean, they're after the Trump supporters.
Well, they are after the Trump supporters. And your listeners just need to get ready for this. They're going to see people that have supported the president, worked in the White House. You're going to see people that have stood with the president. The left is going to turn on these people.
Of course, our neighbors over in Georgia going through it with their Senate race right now. And I know here in Tennessee, Bill Hagerty, the next U.S. senator, the junior senator from that state, from our home state. How do you think Senator Hagerty is going to do up on Capitol Hill?
Senator Hagerty is going to do just fine. He is a good, solid conservative. He's someone that I've known for a long time. My husband and son have worked with him on Boy Scout projects. Senator Hagerty and his wife Chrissy have been very involved in supporting different conservative causes and candidates. He led President Trump's transition. So he is going to serve our state very well.
Well, if Senator Blackburn says it, then it's good enough for me. Senator, we so appreciate the time you spent on our national show. And I know the good people back in Tennessee just really love you and respect the great work you're doing for the state.
Well, we are grateful to have the opportunity to serve. Thank you.
All right. Senator Marsha Blackburn from the Volunteer State. Doing some great work up on Capitol Hill. By the way, they're calling him, well, we're just going to call him Biden. Biden is speaking to reporters and taking a few questions. We'll pay attention to, we'll check that out during the commercial break to see the back and forth. But that has been a big sticking point between Biden and the media. He hasn't been taking that many questions. He just makes a statement and walks right off that stage. All right, got to take a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. Our website, by the way, is toddstarnes.com. Hey, one of the stories we have up on the site, I want to share this with you. This is a bizarre story. Boise State University. There's a very popular coffee house in Boise called Big City Coffee. They got a place over in the Linen District is where they had their coffee house. And so the students all voted, and they decided they wanted this coffee shop to open up a little spot on campus in the library. And so they went through all the proper procedures, and sure enough, they did just that. The owner of the coffee house, her name is Sarah Findlay. And she is a big supporter of the police department. And there's a reason why. And she is engaged to a former Boise police corporal by the name of Kevin Holtry. Mr. Holtry was shot 5 times while on duty back in November of 2016. Mr. Holtry was pursuing an armed fugitive. There was a shooting and the carjacking, and he was gunned down in the process. Fortunately, he made a recovery, and they're getting married. And as a sign of respect to the police department and to her soon-to-be husband, who was nearly assassinated, She flies a blue lives, or I say a thin blue line flag out in front of her coffee house, right there on the front. Two thin blue line flags. Students at Boise State University found out about this, and they raised holy hell. And they began petition drives, and they held meetings, and they said that someone like Sarah Findley was not welcome on the campus of Boise State University. Someone who supports the police, not welcome to do business at Boise State University. Big controversy, big chaos there. It was brought before the Student Government Association. Rhian Banks is a member of the Inclusive Excellence Committee for the Student Government Association. And they really, really went after her. And they accused her of creating an unfriendly environment on the campus. So anyway, it got so bad that finally Miss Findley said, you know, this is not worth it. We're not going to go to war with the cancel culture. And so she ended up shutting down the coffee house in the library at Boise State University. Amanda Hawks is a student government member. She said, quote, with Chick-fil-A and now Big City Coffee, we have to send a message that the camp, she says the message is that the campus does not support Black Lives Matter. What does Chick-fil-A have to do with that? I mean, it's just crazy. So there you have it. And it's really unfortunate. There was a quote here. I'm looking at this story. There was a quote from a vice president for student affairs. And the vice president for student affairs said, bringing this company on campus is silencing our students. And if there is a way to end this now, we need to do it. I mean, seriously, what does that have to do? How do you silence someone by having a coffee house on campus that flies the Black Lives Matter flag, or the thin blue line flag? And by the way, the thin blue line flag is not being flown in the library, only at the main location of this coffee house. You think this is going to ease up under a Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. By the way, just as a side note, that coffee house location inside the library at Boise State University, it actually employed 20 students, all female students, by the way. Now they're all unemployed, out of work. And somehow the left is going to claim this as a victory. Well, there you go. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Gene on YouTube. Hi, Gene. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'll make it quick because time's running out here. I want you to put on the Carmack the Great hat and kind of explain to me what would happen if they find that these votes are too tainted, there's too big a mess in these states, and it has to go to the state legislature to decide which electoral votes will go where. Well, I mean, just like can you see state by state there as far as what the makeup of that state legislature looks like.
Now, there is a lot of, and let's go ahead and take Gene off because I'm getting some feedback here. Gene, I'm going to answer your question for you. The answer is yes, I think so. Now, David Horowitz says state legislatures can absolutely step in. There is some disagreement in legal circles as to whether or not that could happen. But on the other side, there are many who say that they do have the right to do that. And then again, you could send an elector to the Electoral College and they could very well not vote for the candidate they're supposed to be voting for. And there's no recourse for that. So it's possible. We'll have to wait and see, though. And I have no doubt that if we get to December 14th and this is not resolved, it's going to be a free-for-all no matter what happens. So we'll stay on top of it. All right, let's go to Robert in Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hey, Robert, real quick, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, I will get in, get out. This is just my opinion. I believe that being a Democrat is a mental disease. Have they forgotten 8 years of Obama? They're trying to paint the last four as being terrible. But the 8 years, remember pen and phone, and I'm not afraid to use it. And they want to say that Trump has been a bad guy. But then here's the other. This stuff of shaming Trump supporters. Here's what a common sense deal. If they're going to shame us to where we can't get hired, who's going to pay for all their free junk that they're going to give away with their Marxist programs? Because guess what? Those lazy people who got the free stuff in their eyeball, they're not going to be working. They're expecting a handout. And then here's the other side. What if the roles were reversed? For the last 4 years, we have had a Republican presidency. What if we had said 4 years ago when that happened that we ought to kill the baby killers? You know, these people can't think past their own noses, Todd, and that's the shame of this. You know, they're wanting a war, so to speak, but I don't think they want it if it comes to them. And I'm not a violent person, but I am on record as saying if it comes to me, watch out, you know, because I'm going to give it back. But I'm not going looking for a fight, but, you know, I'm not going to let them run over me either. And that's just some common sense stuff to me, Todd, that makes all kinds of sense. Who are you going to get to pay for stuff if you shame all the Trump supporters out of working? They're the capitalists, last time I checked.
Well, that is a terrific question, Robert. And look, it's also important to remember when it comes to Obamacare, who is it that's responsible for Obamacare still being the law of the land? None other than the late senator from the state of Arizona, John McCain, who infamously on national television looked at the camera and did the big thumbs down, sticking it to we the people. And again, you know, people don't like to talk about that. They don't like to remember it, but we remember these things, Robert. We remember these things. Thank you for the call, and thank you for listening today. Folks, wow, it has been an action-packed day, and we're going to do it all over again tomorrow. I believe Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, is going to drop by tomorrow. We're going to be following all of the developments as we continue to count the vote. And, folks, it's going to be unbelievable, just unbelievable. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Hang in there, folks. Don't be discouraged. Encourage your lawmakers to stand firm in the fight. All right, we got to wrap it up. Been a great day here at Liberty University. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.